the Board of Trustees, I'd like to welcome everyone to the last regular JCSD 1 board meeting of the 22-23 school year. I can't believe where is time gone. Time is always moving at warp speed. The board thanks those here in attendance, either in person, via streaming, or listening on 307.net. We all have busy lives, and we appreciate you taking time out of those lives to attend this meeting. We kind of have a full house tonight. Of course, I'd always like to warn people about their cell phones, conversations. If you need to talk to the person next to you, kind of help if you just stepped outside. And again, thank you all for being here. Roll call. I think we still got a few. They'll be here, I'm sure. Jody. Marsha. I heard Dean. That's probably one of them there. Okay, at this time, would you all please rise and join with me in saying the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Public comment. Do we have anyone for public comment tonight? No one? I don't want to miss anybody. Moving on to the agenda. Do I have any additions to the agenda? If not, may I have a motion to accept the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All the same song. Thank you. Moving into general reports. Student video, JCSD1 student video. Mr. Oski, you are looking a bit like this is our last one, I believe, for the school year. Thank you. Thank you. Great video. Is that our last one?
It is.
Okay, now we enter into our principal's report. Mr. Oski.
Right, so we have the highlight. Mr. Ferris, are you here?
I'm here.
So let's turn it over to you.
Okay, so the video, what we decided to do, or what I decided to do this month, was ask Mr. Sanchez, some of his students, and the students are here tonight that are responsible for these videos every month. So I thought it'd be interesting for them. They understand you could ask them some questions, and I thought maybe they could talk a little bit about the process of what it goes through in a month to make that. So, but first, if Mr. Sanchez, you kind of introduce him, and also tell a little bit about it, just to kind of give them what goes into the video.
That's one of the things. So who I have, Tristan, Tessa, Tavian, Levi, and Brett here. And basically what it started out as last year, Mitrovsky put out a little word saying, hey, anybody want to do some videos for for the school board meeting? I guess you had the practice down in Claremont and asked for it to be happening up here. And I told Heidi, I said, come up here, and I'll be right in. I got some students that I think would want to do this. And so I brought it to my sixth graders. That was last year, was Levi and Tavian. There was another gentleman that participated last year, but they took off on it, and what I really did is what I like to do in my classroom is I give a little technique, show them a little skills, and then I let them make the decisions. And I stand over them a little bit in the beginning, just give them some guidance on movies and how to produce something like this. And then they take it from there. And all last year, these two were part of that. They started again this year. Mr. Rossi appeared in my classroom the first day of school and said, are you willing to do the videos this year? And I said, I don't know. Anybody here? And they stood right up again. So they did it for the first semester, and in the second semester, I did not have them for a class that they could do the videos in, so I brought them to the sixth graders, and these three stood up and said they would like to do it. So this is something that they do in addition to their regular classwork. They do it sometimes during school time, or during school time, or regular class time. Sometimes they come in for lunch. Sometimes they're striving to get things done because they may have 4 days to do it. They might have 8 days to do it. Depends on when we get the videos and how everything falls in. My job is just to get the videos from the rest of the staff, and then I sometimes have to translate some of them because our systems don't take some of the pictures that they send us, but then it's all on them. And so I asked if anybody wanted to speak. They all said, no, not really. But I did tell them that they would be up and that they, the school board might be interested in asking some questions.
Madam Chair. I just want to say, no offense to everything else we do every school board meeting, but the video is definitely the best part of our meetings. It's a great reminder of why we sit on school board and what is good in the world and in this district, and it's you guys. So thank you.
How long does it take you to put this all together?
2 weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More questions.
So some of the videos from the high school, do some of you guys go to the high school and the different schools?
So I request that building leadership reach out to all the buildings and they send the videos to Rick.
I see.
So part of the conversation is we provide the video that the either the pictures or the videos, and then they put it together. So the intent behind this, I appreciate it, because I appreciate what was just said. The whole purpose behind this is to realize what we do on a daily basis. We don't see that when we're in these meetings. So you guys are doing a great job. So the intention to show that when we have to make hard decisions and that there's a lot of controversy about what we're doing and not doing, this brings us back to the reality that we're seeing a lot of good things happening in our school district. So I appreciate that on my behalf as a superintendent. Rick, I appreciate you taking that challenge on. And yes, he was the first one to say, let him know, I'll be there, I'll do that. But more importantly, he's not doing it, you're doing it. So that's even more exciting. That's a step above what we used to do before. So kids are actually generating videos about the great things happening in Johnson County. So you do impact us in a positive way. So thank you very much. Okay? Thanks for your time. And if you don't have any other questions, Mom and Dad, I'm going to apologize right now because I'm going to give a caffeine card because the dash-in was closed. So if you want this, you can negotiate it with them, but this is a simple thank you on my behalf, okay? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Then, Madam Chair, I would stand for questions, I guess, on the rest of my board report. If there's any other questions that you have. Busy weeks, sprint with all of our stuff. We finally finished. We're finished with activities as of tomorrow. Best of the best track meet is one more, and that's tomorrow. So, but our last soccer match was Saturday, and our last full track meet was Saturday as well. So we're finished with activities. So, big year. Big year.
Do you have anything that you would like to highlight?
White top testing went well. Did you guys have fun taking the white top test?
Yeah.
No, it's not that fun. But we had a week of white top testing, so that's finished. That's a big landmark, kind of event for the year. And then, of course, a special thanks to my teachers. So we had recognition last week. Our Sunshine Club did a great job of recognizing staff and just had a really fun time with that for the week. So in honor of Teacher Appreciation Week, month, we did kind of, we chose last week to celebrate. So.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Mr. Parrish, do you have summer school? I know that's what the kids really enjoy, so I got to ask about
it. Yes.
But are we having that this summer?
You betcha. Yep, okay. Yep. We're going to do, we've been working with Dr. Miller, and we've been working with Connie. She found us some money, and so we're going to do it. So, yes, okay. We're going to offer a summer school, as we've done, very similar to in the past.
And when is it this year?
So it starts that, they usually have a week after school of just a week off of school. So I think it starts, I want to say June 5th, around 4th or 5th, and then runs up to July, but not into July. So it runs for those 3 weeks, and we do half days, but we choose to go Monday through Friday. We have four teachers that have already agreed that said they'd like to help out. And so, yeah, our numbers, we don't have our numbers quite for that, but I will have that in a board report down the road, just as far as, how many students are going to participate in that. So, yeah.
I'd like to also thank you. Your track meet that you had here.
Yes.
That's why Curds and Kittens.
Yes.
Over 600. So.
Oh man, so appreciate
that. Great weather, so they did a nice job. Mrs. Scarlett did a nice job.
Just talk about numbers. We had 95 kids from Buffalo are on the track team. We've got 65 on soccer. We have 95 in track. Sheridan brought, I think they entered 230 kids in that track team. Just Sheridan. And I mean, we had other schools too, so it was thousands of kids. And man, it was great. Yeah, it went very, very well. They did a great job, all the coaches and advisors, and lots of parent help. It takes a lot of people to run a track meet, a lot of people. So,
any other questions for the doctors?
All right, Madam Chair, they were the spotlight, so is there any questions for the other individual schools that are here from their reports?
Thank you all for coming again.
Thanks. Gives us off the baseball practice.
Thank you. Mrs. Gray, I'd like to congratulate your teachers, because I know it's a very rigorous program. They completed the latest training. And that was, how many
were there? Well, there were the ones mentioned in my report, and then I got all but three staff members taking in and several parents.
And it's a year-long commitment, isn't it? Yeah.
About 90 hours.
Wow.
That's fantastic. Anderson Hanson and so is Mr. Evans. So, it's made a difference. It's been a good training.
Madam Chair, I don't see Mr. Evans here, but I just wanted to comment that I really like the fact that the 7th through 11th grade are going to go to Laramie to look at the school, and they also get to go to Wild Tech. And
that's where they are right today.
That's
where they are.
Yeah, and so I think that's huge in trying to get kids to go to college or to a trade school.
Yep.
And so, give with that, I would tell you that when I met with Bochy's, one of the things they are really looking forward to is doing a CDL program. If you're interested, they really want you to reach out to them, because Sheridan also feels like that's really important. So I just want to pass it on.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Since Dave already asked the question, I'm going to ask. I would like to know, last year, the end of the year, we were given reports on all summer school. And so I would like to hear from each school what their plan is, because I know last year VHS, I recall that we didn't offer
summer school last year.
That's correct.
Yeah, I'm happy to kick that off.
I could just.
So we'll do the same 3 weeks. Right now we have And we do it as a credit recovery. So kids in that 54%, between 54% and 60%, come for summer school so that they can recover that credit. And right now we have math, science, and English that we'll all be going. So, and those are half-day things. So our classroom teachers, our math teachers, for example, with this student will look back at content and find out what the student didn't master, and that's the stuff the student works on during summer school.
As a volunteer, you highly recommend to them?
Oh, it's there's some pressure. Yeah.
So how many students do you plan on having, or do you have any idea?
So, I mean, I could give you a number, but it wouldn't be accurate. We won't know until that, well, 2 weeks from now.
So, okay. Let's go down. So Val, talk about ESY. Let's go down the list.
We just had a meeting tonight. ESY is a little bit different for SPED. It's an extended school year, and so it's kiddos that have shown a history of regression of scores, or if they are significantly below grade level. And some kiddos just, they lose so much if we don't meet with them every year. So we don't do like the first 3 weeks. It's all individualized for students. So some kids we will incorporate into the regular summer school and provide them services during that time. There are some that we meet with regularly throughout the summer. Counseling, I know, has been a big deal. In the past, we've never really had any way to continue that, so I've always had to contract, but Colin will be meeting with those kiddos this summer. And then we do a jump start for those kids that just need, like if they're going from Metal Arc to Cloud Peak, if some of those kids just need to know the routine and their new schedules and the buildings, and so we do offer that as well.
Thank you. So, Craig and Lori, let's have you two go together since you'll be combined.
Okay.
Well, because they're doing construction at Metal Arc this summer, I had to open our doors to Metal Arc. So. Now, we typically target around 60 kids. It's just a really rough number. There's no, I mean, it's a come if you will. We're hoping to get about 30. It's kind of a where we've been, 20 to 30.
We run kind of the same numbers, focus on ELA and math, try to make it more of a project-based, hands-on learning versus what they typically get in a school day. So, and we're happy to share.
We are too. Very.
So can anybody, any little one can come?
We target the kids in the 30 percentile or what, lower, and so we invite them.
And it's all targeted.
Yeah. Okay. We've got about 30.
And I say that a lot of times we'll have a sibling that is a targeted kid, and they have an older or a younger sibling that they'll come as well. Yeah. And so we typically don't turn anybody away. But, it's targeted.
How many teachers do you guys?
We'll have three.
We'll have three.
Okay.
And then if numbers warrant it, you may ask for a pair. So.
I think a neat thing, too, taking on to just what we're offering as a district is we met tonight with Bonnie from the Boys and Girls Club, and she's taking over the summer learning portion of what they offer and just trying to create some sort of consistency for that summer learning. And we had a great conversation, our title teachers, and Craig and I and Maggie met with them tonight, and Steve's going to work on trying to use some of the built monies to support some of what they're doing as well. So we're pretty excited to have a richer learning experience for those kids this summer. So
you're going to do it in June? Is that what you're hearing?
We're doing our summer school in June. The same
June
time
5th through the 22nd-ish or something like that.
Because I know 1 year you did it like in August.
We tried one time in August.
Yeah, and it just.
COVID, that year of COVID, we did a kind of a jump start, and it just combining it with fair doesn't.
Yeah, work. Right.
World's
fair. World's fair. Any other summer school questions?
Mr. Anthony.
New West does not offer summer school in any way, shape, or form.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Anderson's up. I'd like to say, love Wyattown. The interviews, I love spending time with the kids, and they're excited. They're a little nervous, but it's a great experience for us to talk.
First group goes next Monday. We have a snafu in the scheduling. Someone thought it was Tuesday the 16th. It's actually Monday the 15th. Had the right month, right week. But so we got that all figured out. If anybody wants to go along as a volunteer, we'd sure have you.
Where do you go?
Down to Casper. It's actually a town. It's a big old building. It's right next to the Boys and Girls Club Boxing Center. And so you can actually look through this one door and see them in there sparring. But it's a really cool experience for them. So.
I didn't know that.
And I did want to highlight something. I thought I had everything in my board report, but I saw pictures in the video. And I failed to mention the science fair. And so we had a huge turnout for science invention fair and an art show. Set a lot of kids. And I had the numbers, and I don't have them off the top of my head, but it was a significant number of our kids participated in that. And all voluntary. There's no requirement to do it. It's not judged in, we don't give somebody a first place, second place. It's all learning that they choose to do. And so Becky Qualm was the instigator behind that. And then Jory Zurcher and Amy Shreve jumped on this year and brought in the art piece. So that was cool. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Madam Chair. I do have one more question. Thank you for that on the summer school. For Mr. Ostheimer at BHS, I asked last month about the communication piece with the elevator and with graduation coming up. Could you give me an idea of your plan?
Yeah, so we've already sent some communication out regarding the elevator. Been meeting with John. We're going to identify all of the parking in front of the building. Right now, there's three visitor slots and like five handicapped, so that'll all be marked handicapped. The parking down below the gym will all be marked handicapped. Mr. Mader sent me a map today with the routes lines so that people will know how to get to those handicapped sites. We'll use NHS and student council students to escort people from the front main doors and from the lower doors to find appropriate seating. Like we did at prom, we'll have chairs up on the track so that people coming in the front door can go right to the track, not even have to navigate any of the bleachers. And then the bottom row of the bleachers will be accessible from the bottom of the gym. And so we've already begun communicating that, and we will have more and more stuff coming up.
So you communicated directly to, like, parents of the senior kids just
correct.
Because... I'm sure the seniors are like this, and the parents, and I just, my main concern is that we're a liability. We have a lot of people coming that aren't from here, you know, have grandparents, aunts and uncles, and all the things, and I just want to make sure that we do our best
absolutely.
In communicating to the parents and the families that have families coming. So that we don't get in a sticky situation.
Yeah, no, and that's absolutely our desire.
And we want them to be able to, yes, and feel welcome.
Right.
I appreciate that.
We thought prom was a pretty good practice. The Grand March was a pretty good practice for that. And I think that the kids, I think we did really well.
Yeah.
We know that there will be more grandparents and family coming for graduation. So I think we have a good plan.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, you're very welcome.
Yes.
Will you be sending out a map or anything like that to the parents and such so
yes.
they know and they can identify where those spots are?
Yes, exactly. That's the purpose for the map, is to get it to families so that they... And we talked about even some signage. So we're going to make it as easy as possible.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Dr. Howell, have you made your final selections for New West? Have we all settled yet?
We're... About a third through interviews.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So just with so many things going on, it's tough to get those scheduled. We'll run up probably right to the end of the school year.
Okay.
to complete the interviews for students who've applied already. And as I mentioned in my board report, typically we get a couple over the summer. So it'll be probably 20 total applications for 10 spots is what we'll be looking at. And we work with parents and talk with them about all of their options. And as I've talked with you before, it's our goal just to make sure that every area student is in the right place for them. And we end up having some pretty good conversations.
Great. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Anybody else? Any other questions? Ms. Roski.
All right, director's report. Cassota, John, you're up.
If any principals leave missing a couple handicap signs, they'll be at the high school. I'm just going to swap those two signs up.
Any questions for Mr. Zink?
So, is the water on now?
Yeah, kind of.
You said there were some leaks. There was leaks.
We had some major breaks.
Yeah, the first probably more so because of the winter.
Clear Creek's fixed. It's back on. Metal Arc is fixed. It was run today. Craig's, we're not sure what size excavator we got to bring in to dig that one up. But
That was really pretty awesome.
It's impressive.
We had an island building in between our buildings. It was pretty cool.
So the high school is not on yet. We're at the mercy of the ditch. We had a meeting. The guys had a meeting with the cemetery. The ditch is littered pretty bad with tree branches, leaves, and all that. But they got a plan. They're going to dam it off, flood it up, mulch it, and then they're going to open it up to us, and then we'll let it run by us for 4 days to clean up before we even attempt it.
For 43 years, I've heard about the ditch. I have no idea what it is, but it's the ditch.
And then the guys are going down tomorrow to, they got a valve to fix and get the city water turned on in KC for the orchard, for the trees that they're bringing in. The river down there is too fast, too muddy right now to try to pump any water for irrigating, so. And I did fail to put in a board report about summer help will be starting. We have one starting the 16th, one on the 22nd, and then we have interview with a student tomorrow morning, first thing, and then when school's out, she'll get most likely started. We're kind of short-staffed, along with everything else. No one wants to cut grass now. So probably going to be looking for one more student.
So a total of five?
Yeah, and then I got one down in KC, and a student down in KC.
KC and six.
Down there.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
John, and I know we'll talk about it later, but in KC, what happened to the siding?
Yeah, three different substrates, three different materials with three different expansion contraction rates, and over the years, some of the fasteners were installed incorrect from the get-go. Some were too small, too short, didn't get into the substrate. And then if you're ever down in KC on a cold winter morning, and that sun comes up, you can hear that building popping. Mm-hmm. And those screws are just backing out. I mean, there's a million screws in that building.
So will it be the entire building then?
Yeah, they're going to go through the whole building. There's some panels they have to fix, some flashing. It's quite an undertaking.
Are they actually going to remove the siding?
In spots, they may have to remove it to see what it's doing back there, to see if, like on the CMU walls, concrete masonry unit block, they have furring strips on with insulation. And then they run an anchor from the board into the block, and then an anchor through the metal under the wood. You've got two different expansion contraction rates. So you go up on that roof on a morning like today, it's cool in the morning, and warm in the afternoon, and you can go up there and you'll find screws just laying on the deck. So, and we've had weather get behind that siding, and we have some loose panels. And if the wind gets a hold of it and rips it off there and hits a student, we are in big trouble. It's a health and safety concern as well. And I've been working on this with Connie since December, January last year.
Yeah, I know the screws back out. So, you know, we had the report where, and I forget the company where Zach was showing when they did the infrared, you know, how much heat we were raising and stuff. So when they have some of that off, will they actually be looking to put some additional insulation or do a little better job on some of the windows with sealing them up?
No, not so much on that. And some, a lot of that was, it's the CMU that's on that building at the ground level is where that transition was happening. But they're going to inspect it very thoroughly while they're there.
Thank you.
So the savings on the paint is incredible. I mean, it pays for the grow-up, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah. Yeah, it's pretty impressive what that thing is saving us. And we would probably, we were talking about it the other day, we would probably be this time of the year down to our last buckets off 3-4 pallets to do, you know, to finish out the season, make sure we have enough. And there's been last year, I think, or the year before, it's like, can you send me 6 pails? Because I don't have enough. So we got the numbers now. We know what it's going to take. And we're getting some discounts because other districts, I believe there's 6 or 7 robots in the state of Wyoming now. And so we're getting discounts off our bills for referrals.
I can't remember if we read it in the report, it was when you and I were talking that if we don't have an equipment room with the elevator already, so we have to add one?
Yes. That is correct.
Did we have to have an equipment room before?
No, it was during construction of the building. All we had to do is there's a hole in the hoistway where they run the cabling. We had to fur that wall about 2 inches for the current panel to sit in the wall. And it has a locked, secure door. It's got 2 locks to get into it. With the new equipment, it's a totally different animal. So I have to build a room in the office workroom. And I've been talking with Gibb some options. And we have to house that has to be locked up and be able, if something happens, then get gear in, get gear out. And while they're in there doing their service, they can close the door. Because right now, the way it is, when they open that door and the elevator guy's there, I mean, Gibb's seen it. You got 480 volts sitting there. So when he walks away, he's got to lock it up. And so we kind of knew, I've known for quite a few years since it's been in discussions, that we're going to have to build a room to house this equipment. The motor will still be down in the pit, the new motor, but all this is a totally different setup.
And how big a room is it?
It's going to be about 6x6. It's not very big. It's just enough to have a door to open up and house everything. I'm trying to get him to shrink it down so the copy machine still works, but if not, we got to do a little remodel, but it is what it is. We have to have an elevator, and we have to put it there, so we just got to make arrangements and make it all fit.
John, is that powered by an electric motor or electric over hydraulic?
It's electric.
Electric.
Yep. Clear Creek is a hydraulic elevator hoistway, and the high school is electric.
Been a thorn in our side since the day we opened that school, let me tell you. So,
yeah.
I know they need it fixed and it'll no longer be a thorn.
Yep. So there will be some additional cost with it, but minimal compared to the cost, though.
Yeah.
Ms. Drosky?
All right. So, food service. Any questions for Ricky?
I've got one for you. Are you going to serve lunch at some school? Or?
Okay. So I actually just added that to my board report. So we are not doing summer food this year. So summer food is a program for the community. It's not necessarily for summer school. But in the past, it has been that we've only typically fed summer school kids until COVID. And so what summer food is that we have to qualify by, do you remember the census map, the actual name of it? There's a government census map.
that we have to go on and plug in the addresses. And if we aren't in an eligible site, we can't serve meals from that location. None of our schools in Buffalo are, except for New West, are eligible. And so we would have to make the food, transport it to a place that is in an eligible site, and have a place where they can eat it. They would have to eat it on site. And then if it was raining or whatever, we'd have to have a place where we could get them inside to eat there. And so they don't make it super convenient to do this. So we are not serving summer food this year. But the principals, some of them, I think, maybe all of them, have budget in their summer school to purchase snacks and things for them. And I'm willing to order that through Cisco so we can get the bulk pricing, that kind of thing. And they can have it here in June when they do their summer program. Any other questions about that?
Thank you.
Madam Chair, what's the rationale? I don't understand that, why the other schools aren't eligible.
It's based on the census. I'm not really sure. I have to plug in the addresses, and if they come up in the gray, we can't do it. If they're in the orange or the green, then I think it's green, then we can. And I really don't know what it all is. Looking at, and I should say Casey qualifies as well. But they're going to do the snacks and that kind of thing, I think, too. But looking at Johnson County, it's really weird because it's west of Klondike, north of Fort, but then east of Laban. So anywhere there, I could do it, but not where we really need to do it. So it's really bizarre. I don't know. And then once, if you do become eligible, once you're eligible for 5 years, and then you don't have to look that map anymore until your 5 years is up. Well, our 5 years was up, I think, our second year into COVID serving. So, and COVID serving was different because they didn't have to eat it on site. They could come and grab it and go. Now it's back to the normal way. They have to eat it on site, but it would still be open to the community. But it's just...
Is it possible to make a request? Because I hate to see you go to all the extra work. You'd think you'd be able to make it at one of the schools.
So we're not going to do. We're just not going to do it this year. Plus, I don't have the help to do it this year. But just so everybody is aware, Friends Feeding Friends is going to be doing something. They've got a van. They're going to have a mobile. They're going to be able to do what I can't do. They're going to be able to do what I wanted to do before COVID, which was pack it all up in a van and go down to the park if that's where they choose to do it. I wanted to do it at the park and have the kids come get lunch and go to the pool, all of that stuff. But Friends Feeding Friends is going to be able to be more mobile and get out there, and they're planning to, I don't know that they're going to get it up and running. Does anyone else know? Up and running right away for the summer, but their plan is to have this van and be able to make sandwiches right there as the kids come up. And do it that way. And then they'll also have the bags and things that they'll still do. So they are planning to provide meals for our kids.
How are kids supposed to know that that's an option for them?
The Friends Feeding Friends, is they'll get that communication out as well. So.
Any other questions? Do you guys have any communication at all with the Rocky Mountain Food Bank?
We are not. I know Bev Bowden does something with that because once a month she has, I think, some FFA kids using it that they go out to the fairgrounds and help handle that.
I'm not sure it's a phone number because I have a lady like work out there, and yes, the FFA kids come, but there is always so much left, and I think they can kind of customize it to need per capita. And so I don't know if that would be.
I don't know that I can do anything with that as part of my program.
Pay for some of that. If you join the food bank, you have to pay a certain amount of money per pound.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
So because we are part of the National School Lunch Program and Breakfast Program, I am tied to all of these other requirements and guidelines and things that I have to follow. So if we can't run our program through that, then. Thank you. But I think the Boys and Girls Club can run the same kind of program that I could, so they, if they wanted to do summer food, they could, or they used to be able to in the past.
Okay.
There are other options as long as other organizations can take that on. And then there's always the food bank or the food pantry.
Yeah.
So. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate you.
All right, Christy, you are up. Any questions for Christy?
Letting you off the hook, Christy.
So I would like to pass a compliment on to Christy and the tech department. Heard today from stakeholders and school administration that Christy and her team are doing an amazing job and been very positive this year through her leadership. So I'd like to recognize her with any time we get a compliment to pass that on to you.
And I would like to say when VHS had their big track meet, Christy came up. She didn't have to, but she came up. She made sure everybody was doing what they had to do. And I appreciate that.
All right, so Madam Chair, there is no transportation report. I will take questions. Bill is driving, and due to his family situation last week, did not put a report together, but I said that was quite okay. So if you have a question for me, maybe I can answer. I try to answer those, or we'll just be ready for next month.
Madam Chair, I know last time we were talking about any cancellations of activities and stuff. Did that ever happen, or did we...
So, huge celebration. I'm going to knock on wood right now. We had our weekly transportation meeting this morning, and without any hiccups, we've scheduled everything out to the end of the year. Everything has to go perfect. Let me remind you, everything has to go perfect. But the reality, that means nobody's sick, nothing breaks down, no extreme weather. We should be able to meet the needs of everything through the end of the year. That is as of 10 o'clock this morning, I'm announcing that, okay?
End of the school year.
End of the school year. Just answering the question. It was a celebration.
Any other questions?
All right, so Madam Chair, I am up next. Any questions for me on my report or any questions that I might be able to answer to the Board of Trustees?
Something you'd like to highlight like I always ask?
Super excited. Thanks for asking. Okay, we are coming to the end of the year. Buildings are doing a great job. We finished with White Top. Mr. Miller gave me a tip in the water, toe in the water of all the data that's coming in. We got some exciting things to show, but more importantly, last Friday we had an opportunity to sit down with Jack Tarter, who is the chairman of the State's Facilities Committee, and that meeting will be here June 6th, 7th, and 8th. On June 6th, we get an opportunity, or Charles gets the opportunity, to do a world-class tour of Buffalo Schools, Gillette, and Sheridan with this committee. But we're going to get an opportunity to start out with New West first thing that morning. Then we're going to go to some of our schools, including Metal Arc. We'll actually get out and go through those facilities. And guess why I'm so excited about this? We actually will have the committee that will make decisions, see our facilities when we talk about component projects, we talk about facilities, capital construction. We'll get an opportunity to go over to Gillette. They are looking to build a transportation department, which is down the road. So we get to see a process. It's going to be right here in our boardroom is where these meetings will take place. So June 6th, 7th, and 8th, we will have a lot of state people here in this meeting. I'll get an opportunity to observe some presentations from some other districts. It's always about learning how they're presenting and they're getting facilities. So those things will be here on June 6th, 7th, and 8th with that tour of the three counties, so I am excited about that. I know it's not educational related, but it is related to the needs of this district over the next future of how we get facilities, how we get that component project, so it'll be right here on site with us. So I am excited about that. Okay. Other things that we kind of outlined here, you'll see we have some, we're moving forward. I'm excited for the work that was done with the committee on the superintendent's evaluation system. That's coming up soon. So if you didn't put the two together at the same time we're doing our work session and the superintendent's evaluation, state people will be here. So it's going to be a pretty busy week. And then you add into it, Sue Bellish, that's one of the weeks Sue Bellish would like to come do some training. So it's going to be a busy June. In addition to that, you'll see in Dr. Miller's report, I might as well go off the top of that. We're having a PLC Institute here in Johnson County in the May, first part of June. Am I correct in saying we have about 90 people signed up? We have 90 people. It's going to be a mini national conference right here for our people. That's exciting. That's a kickoff. So the end of May, the very last day of May, I would like to invite you as a board of trustees to the opening speaker on site. I'm also going to try to schedule an opportunity for him to meet with you individually as a board. So that's exciting. Mike has presented some other work, project-based learning, which will be happening here this summer. Val is looking to do some type of special ed institute here this summer. And we are ramping up and trying to get everybody ready for PD for next year, which is a whole different level of things. So that's exciting. So there's no such thing as time off in Johnson County School District. We have a lot of exciting things happening along with summer school and PD and things of that nature. So I'm excited about that. In addition to that, John and Christy didn't talk about it, but I'm going to talk about them along with Connie. We have been working weekly on a COPS grant, a $500,000 grant to potentially help with facilities, with the audio enhancement in the system. This summer, John, along with every other project he has going on, we are looking to do Clear Creek Middle School and finish the elementary, which it should be where it needs to be, with audio enhancement. And then if we get this $500,000 grant, there's kind of a match with that, then we would look at getting at one platform with our communication and Bell systems district-wide. So that's exciting. That's been an adventure. Keyword is adventure. There's been a lot of work with that piece. So that's another grant opportunity that's out there that might help us with some of our facilities. So in short, there's a lot going on. I would like to also highlight our parent liaison meeting. Those of you as board members that got to attend that exit interview and that report had some very substantial feedback and data that was presented there with that piece, so I'm excited about that. And then the other exciting thing, we recognized Teacher of the Year in Lori's building, which she did an outstanding job with that. And we are currently going around to all buildings, thanks to Mr. Miller and his team. But we're also handing out certificates to every teacher that received a nomination in person. We're going around to all those. So we had a short world tour this afternoon, and we have a long world tour tomorrow. So we will be going around to all the buildings to hand those out. So with that, Madam Chair, if there's any other questions later, I will answer those.
Floor is open.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Rossi.
Curriculum and learning. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Miller, anything you would like to highlight? Just, he took your thunder away.
He
I'm
did
sorry.
Take the thunder away from the Teacher of the Year. That's the most exciting part of the job. But it is now officially data season, so it's Christmas for me. So data's coming out.
So I didn't take that away because I knew he was going to talk about data. Okay?
So it's exciting times, just to see where we're at and just help our students improve and grow. So we're in a good spot.
So I would encourage you before you leave tonight to go to Mr. Miller's room and see the countdown for accreditation, and also his different levels of data collection. On his wall, where he's at, I think you're at level 5, correct?
Yeah, DataCon 5.
DataCon 5, a military version of collecting data.
So you're given more footing now.
Yeah. So, Dr. Miller, on my behalf, I appreciate all the work you've done, not only with Teacher of the Year, and I know it's not interesting, but he is putting together some amazing data reports on where our students are. And I'm really thinking we're going to see that data go to schools and really impact us on our decisions over the next couple of years. So I appreciate that effort. Not many people love collecting data, put it together. You are one of them. So thank you.
Thank you. Madam Chair, just a comment, Mr. Miller. Some of the, on mine anyhow, some of your links wouldn't open. And I don't know if anybody else had trouble, but they wouldn't open. So just letting you know.
Thank you very much. Yeah, there was that. We're trying to launch our it's called The Bright Side, thanks to Heidi, just positive news stories for the district. And so there was a little snappy on that. There was one production video that shouldn't have been out there. So, I guess we'll have a real kickoff on the webpage this week, so we'll get it out.
Okay.
To everybody. So good. Thank you.
Just to let you know. So which links are
making? Yeah,
I tried to do the optimum. Paint or whatever it wouldn't open for me.
I got that.
You got it open?
I got one open, but I didn't get that up. Another one open.
Anyway, so send Dr. Miller an email, and then so we can look at why maybe that's we can work with Christy to see why those links aren't open. Okay.
That was the best one. Awesome.
Yeah, I saw the paint one. Yeah.
Madam Chair, I wanted to comment on the optimist paint. I like the bright side. I like that. I think that's a great thing that you started. I think it's great for the community to be able to see these kind of things, like what's going on. Super interesting to me to hear the data on that piece of all the savings, and I thought Matt did a really nice job explaining, like, I didn't understand exactly how that it would have, like, the base that it would go to, like, the surveying thing, so that was really interesting to watch, because I thought, how do they program it? I knew there was a way, I just didn't know how, and to program it to do each field, and the time savings, I was like, whoa. That was, like,
really cool.
Phenomenal. What was it, like, what the machine can do in 25 minutes?
So they can take the guy, like, 12
hours.
Takes longer to set up, clean up.
Yeah, I was amazed.
The game field at Buffalo High School is 25 minutes and 43 seconds.
Yeah, that's just amazing. So do you plan on, like, highlighting other, like, cool stuff?
We have three or four videos in pre-production that Madam Chair saw one that was leaked, I guess.
I thought
it was
pretty good.
So we're going to try to do one or two weeks. Just, there's some weeks that are more driven for other things. But just want to highlight
videos.
The many amazing things that are going on in our district. We have amazing people here.
Yeah.
Amazing students. So let's highlight those.
I like it.
Thank you.
Are you just putting those on, like, the Johnson County School District website? Or
at the moment, Heidi created a page on our front page link to the school district website called Brightside. So we're going to try to launch it. Get a little bit more PR on it, but we want to make sure bugs are worked out before we really get going. But yeah, just maybe one or two videos a week, or even a news article, or even pictures that other principals send in. So we'll just highlight some positive news.
We have some exciting people just waiting to be interviewed. So Jared would be one. Anyway, I think it's a great idea. I appreciate the work he's doing there. Another highlight for Gibbs School, that now that we're talking about that, I'm very impressed with the student council officers at Buffalo High School. So they've started doing an interview of the superintendent on 307.net. And they won't release the questions until you sit down and say, here's the question. They are very professional, respectful. They generate those questions through their student body. And we have a good time. We really do. So if you haven't listened to those, please do. I hope it continues. The leadership now is graduating, so we're going to attempt a rookie interview with some upcoming officers. But that is super exciting. So, Gib, I appreciate what those kiddos are doing at the high school.
With
that.
Awesome.
Okay. All right.
Moving on, Ms. Roski.
Special services.
Oh, special services.
Val, you're up.
Madam Chair, Val, the CS teachers, they will be there 5 days a week. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay.
And there's that many students in each school in Needham. Oh, that's interesting.
There are. And so mental health is definitely, and they're not. It's not all mental health. If the numbers aren't super high, I mean, because kids fluctuate, then they'll provide other special. They're all certified special education teachers, and so they'll provide other services.
And so if we have a school that has more, they can assist in those areas too. And so we're really looking at it as a team approach. And so instead of it being kind of a silo, they're going to meet weekly. They're all super excited to meet each other. We were lucky and had applicants that had behavior experience. And so I'm really excited to see the growth of that program, for sure.
Thank you. Did you want to say anything right now about the world's trip? Or?
Yay! It was the best trip ever. So it's like my data season. That's my favorite. Like I said, over the years, you learn every time you go. Because laws are always changing, the way school districts are looking at things and doing things, different processes, all of that is changing constantly. I went with an amazing group of people. We will get together and present to you what we've learned as well, just because there is a lot, and so we'll all get together and put that information in an organized fashion.
Okay, thank you.
But yeah, it was...
So, Madam Chair, maybe the couple board members in their board reports at the end can give a little update.
Okay. You want us to wait?
Or you can do it now.
I was going to wait from the board, but I just wanted to say thank you for the opportunity for allowing me to go. It was a phenomenal learning experience. Just in 3 days, we just got a tip of what law looks like in the special ed world. And how ever-changing and how fast-moving it is in the world is just, it's boggling. And I got to spend some great time with some people that I didn't ever know. And it's kind of cool to be able to spend those times, you know, we just, as board, we just basically see, like, the directors and we get their reports every month. And so spending time with team and kind of getting to know what they do and how hard they work is just, it was just phenomenal. I felt really fortunate that we're in a district that's for kids. We're doing well. We're doing well as a board. I feel like our special ed services are second to none. Listening what goes on in some of the other states, you know, there's states that only have counselors. And, you know, in Johnson County, we have so much more. We have speech therapists, and we have occupational therapists, and we have a behavioral specialist. And we just have all these great things that are doing super wonderful things for kids. And I'm grateful for us here. And so thank you for allowing me to go. And it was super stressful. Some of the classes that we attended, there's a great big world out there, and there's lots of case law out there that's kind of frightening and super informative, too. So I just want to thank everybody for doing the tears. You're doing great things for kids, and thanks for making my job easy.
Thank you for
going. Thank you. Well, it was a good thing you sent Captain Questionall with a team of teachers, because every time we sit down, I'd have to start and say, explain this, tell me what that means, and tell this abbreviation. But they all put up with me and answered all my questions throughout. It was a fabulous training for a new board member. I had no expectation it would be that good, but it put together so much of what we've heard about and read about in a real-world context that I could bring back. That I know how come Val said this is the big deal all year long, because when the lawyers finished telling you what had changed this year, it was shocking. There was a ton of information coming out. So I learned a lot. They had to babysit a lot, but they got me there and back. Anyway, it was really a good training.
So on my behalf, I appreciate you guys going. I mean, you see that. You see the big picture. I also know it was an adventure, and the weather was bad, and you guys came home on not-so-good roads, and it was super late in the morning when you finally did arrive, so there was a lot of dedication, time away from your jobs, your family, so I do appreciate that. So thank you. And someday we will get to know all the adventures that took place. The big picture, okay? All right, so thanks. All right, business report. Connie. So, Madam Chair, I know we are revisiting the preliminary budget or approving that tonight. She does have a business report, but I'll leave it open to any questions that you might have for her, or if there are questions about the adoption of the preliminary budget, we can wait till then.
Why don't we wait till we get to the adopting the budget? Would that be okay?
No, that'd be perfectly fine.
All right, with that, we're to the rec board.
I unfortunately missed my last meeting because I did go to a Journey concert, so I apologize. I didn't know the morning.
Was it good?
It was fantastic.
So when is do we start the interview process for all the applications?
The end of May. There's 3 days. I can have it on my calendar. The 23rd, 24th, and 25th of May.
Thank you. All right. Yeah.
BOCES. BOCES, the new director, I think he's really heading in the right direction. He's kind of riding the ship that's been kind of rocky for a little bit. They are in the process. We have board docs. They never have board docs. So they're in the process of getting everybody up to speed and putting some board docs. And it was kind of great. They had a man from Denver do a whole presentation on board docs. And I'm going, I didn't know how to do that board docs. So it was a really good presentation. So that's their big push right now. Bochis.
So we have a meeting to go over our preliminary budget. It will be the last meeting that we'll have with Gillette College as we're doing a split. The preliminary budget for that is $125,688 for admin. And then for Gillette College, they'll wind up with $2.626 million for a total allocation for Bochis over there of $3,185,400. What was interesting to me is Campbell County's evaluation came in at $4.7 billion, which is up $400 million from last year. So if we need money to help start things up over there, I know who to ask. I know that number sounds like I didn't read it right, but it is.
Say it again, the evaluation came in at
$4.7
billion. That can go home.
Yeah. So like I say, their evaluation is up as much as Johnson County's total evaluation. So anyhow, the next meeting will be just with Sheridan College to get that done.
Did Pete talk about it?
Membership governance on trying to get my votes.
Yes.
I hope you all had a chance to go through board governance for 2.9, labor relations. The number four on that, the board will be responsible for the superintendent's contracts, benefits, compensation, evaluation. I really want to thank Jody and Travis and Kristen for putting time in on that. It's a big document. Like I said the other day, it's a document that will not just be for our present superintendent, but for future superintendents down the road. It's a well thought out document, and they did changes to it to fit our district. And I want to thank you guys for doing that. Anything else that you'd like to bring up about 2.9? Okay, student services 2.2 has to do with basically why we're here. For instance, number three, I'll just read it, require the superintendent to develop, implement, and maintain administrative procedures for maintaining student services to ensure a safe and appropriate educational environment. That takes in a whole gamut of Mr. Oski's job. He's done a lot of work on the safety end. Continues to work on the educational environment. The
Strosky, I should have asked on the part of the superintendent, is there anything you would like to add for the labor relations or the student services?
I didn't share about this.
Any other comments that you'd like to make about this? Moving on. We are into the consent agenda. We have a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
So moved.
We have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Yes.
So, I had some of these questions last year, and I think it was past the time that we had already approved it. My question is in regards to this recreational formula. If we don't pass this, where does that money go? Where does that money just not?
If you do not pass this, then basically the rec district won't have any money to distribute to all the programs that people are seeking.
Okay, so we are as a school district levying a tax that is being handed out. Okay. Madam Chair, I move to remove the recreational board levy. It's not that I don't appreciate the programs that it provides. I don't find that it has anything specifically to do with the school district. I don't believe that we as a school district should tax the public for projects or programs that don't necessarily involve any of the schools located within the districts that we represent or the schools that we represent. So I don't think that I haven't found anything that's directly related to the school. And that's kind of why I believe that. I don't have any problems with the programs that they provide. I just don't think that they're directly related to the school district. And I don't think that we should impose a tax on public funds.
So how do we proceed with that as far as...
Madam Chair, point of order, we've got a motion to be second on the floor. So before we can either agree to amend... or we can vote on that and either vote it up or down. Then if it doesn't pass, we can come to a second motion. So,
we've
got to deal with agreeing to amend.
Okay.
But you could follow up with discussion if you'd like to.
Yeah, absolutely. Then second, can you guys tell us what happens to that money? It's not going to disappear from the county's books. It just won't be handed out to the rec board, the school.
Right. It won't be assessed. You won't be charged to the public, so it's not an excise tax. And another thing, we're probably not bringing it at the correct time. We probably need to advertise this. And so that was one thing I was going to bring up a little bit later, that it needs to be part of the July budget hearing, and we need to advertise that so we can have public comment on that. And to your question about... that you don't feel like it goes to the school district. We've got several grants in requesting money for the school district. They pay $50,000 a year for a swimming pool. There's several things. Brandon just told me he was putting a grant in for some.
Yeah, we do for a pole vault pit. We're putting in this time.
So
at our track.
So we have the same kind of opportunity to request some of that money to come back to the school.
Well, and I'm all for if we're going to tax the public for recreation for the school district, then in my opinion, every cent of that money needs to go to some program that's directly, not indirectly, to where, you know, we can say it's just benefiting the public. It needs to go directly to the school. Case in point, a pole vault pit, or if we're utilizing that to help offset the horrendous cost of what the YMCA charges for swimming. If that's what we're benefiting out of it, then that's great. If we're building it out for other programs.
So part of that, that's why there's a board to kind of approve and recommendations. And so, Randy, my focus as we're trying to balance our budget by 2025 and reduce our activity cost, one of the reasons I asked is when are we presenting? Because we have to start coming to the rec district. We're going to ask for funding for the summer programs that the coaches put on for free to support them. We're asking for the pole vault pits. We're at the swimming pool. So we do need to, as a district, be more actively engaged in that process. If you're going to restructure the board, then that's a whole other conversation of what the rec board does and if the mill is approved. And there's different avenues that we can look at what other school districts do. But we probably should start that process not for this year, but if you want to revamp the board and the intention behind the rec district, we can start having that conversation of what that looks like and maybe what some other districts do.
And also, it's governed by state statute, so, you know, whatever the state statute says, the rec board can participate or give money to, it really is governed by that statute as well. So we have to kind of look at that.
That's where in my mind, if there's a leeway where we're just playing a shell game, then we should just not do it at all.
So, Madam Chair, if I could call on Bridget, I believe that the taxpayers are going to get taxed irregardless, and if we don't levy this mill to the rec district, the school keeps it and can use it for their own recreational purposes. They have bylaws, but Connie makes an interesting point. If we have not advertised that, and if that's part of the statute, then we probably should vote it down until we get it advertised correctly.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that we should be doing it at the budget hearing, or at least we have to advertise for at least a week before the meeting.
So we need to take that out?
So, yeah, Madam Chair, I'll amend my motion, please.
We need to vote it down and then make another motion.
Or we can amend the motion made originally if the rest of the board agrees.
Right.
Can I ask, Bridget, do you agree with that you'll still get taxed?
I think we need to take a step back and look at the statute as far as advertising for the day. Bid on it, or vote on removing it. And I can look at that for you, but I don't have the answer as far as
okay, thank you, Bridget.
Okay, so to amend the motion to remove item E, recreation board mill levy, for consideration in the consent agenda, and have that rescheduled to the budget discussion at an upcoming meeting.
I have to ask, because we have to, should it be the motions as well? Motions as well? Or no? Just the rec.
Just the rec.
Okay, then also item F, Bochy's mill levy. Removed from consent and moved to the budget session.
So I ask for a second.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? We vote on the amendment, correct? Okay, all those in favor of the amendments as stated, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Now back to the original. Are we through with discussion on the consent agenda? All those in favor of approving the consent agenda as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Thank you for your help on that. I'll have to be honest with you, I get a little lost on amendments.
Yeah.
All right, we are now on to policies. The first one is the second reading. This is considered for the student absences and excuses. May I have a motion to approve policy JH-R?
So moved.
Second, please.
No second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving policy JH-R signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Policy is approved. The next one is first reading. This considers the leave of absence. May I have a motion to approve policy G, C, D, D. Is it I or one? I want I.
I.
aye.
So moved.
May I have a second, please?
Second.
Discussion. How many remember this is one that they want so they can go back, Ms. Dr. Hansen? And
The policy committee would value any input the board has on this one. One of the changes that you can see up on the board there was one that the policy committee thought was important. About the third paragraph down, you see the word January highlighted and April struck. Thought that supervisors would need more time in order to fill positions and ask for a leave of absence requested by that time.
Also, the big one was the eligibility. An employee requesting a leave of absence must complete their fourth consecutive year of employment with the district. The way I understand it now, they could be employed and then ask for a leave of absence the following week.
So that they can attend school or
different?
What would be a hypothetical leave of absence?
So different from a sabbatical, Trustee Brown. This would be if there was a potential long-term family issue or something like that. There's a separate sabbatical policy that covers like professional development, earning a PhD, or doing some sort of training that might take them out, or a teacher exchange situation, that kind of thing. So this is just for a long-term absence.
Okay. I just noticed it needed to be a full semester long. And so I was just wondering why are we missing that?
Say it again.
Just wondering what would cause somebody to request that number.
Sure.
Yeah. And this isn't specific with teachers. This would be for any employees with leave of absence.
Does that, does this coincide with FMLA as far as if you're asking for a leave of absence to care for a loved one or something like that, does that go along with FMLA?
I would have to ask Mr. Oskin.
I apologize. I'm reading another policy. What's your question?
So we're requiring the fourth consecutive year requirement to pass for the leave of absence. You know, is FMLA not part of a leave of absence for this type of thing?
So this is not FMLA.
Well, I mean, just a general question that I asked was, give me an example of why somebody would ask for leave of absence to carry for a loved one. Just give it as an example, and that for me would fall under FMLA.
But, Madam Chair, you can request FMLA any time, and if you meet the requirements, you can have that. You would need to go have a leave of absence. You would have 12 weeks that you could. You could be gone, and then your leave would run simultaneously at the same time.
Okay.
But no, you don't have to have this particular thing. This is if you wanted to stay longer because you just had a baby, and maybe you want to stay the full year, spend the full year at home before you come back. So you can do the parental leave, and then you could possibly request something like that. But FMLA, you don't have to do it. Okay with that.
I don't know the history. How many times has this district granted this type of thing? I mean, we had a discussion at our policy committee, but it's been very rare, correct?
So I can think of three times that we've used it, and part of my concern was in certified teacher land, you have what's called continuing contract status or initial contract status, so it has to do with property rights. A couple different times, we've had the request and granted that to somebody that did not have continuing contract status. What that does is it guarantees somebody a job that another person doesn't have that same guarantee. So someone's been in the district for 10 years, they have continuing contract status. They aren't guaranteed a job, but kind of. Okay? Where if I'm a brand new teacher in the district, under the old policy, I could request a leave of absence and not have any property rights to the job for the next year, but circumvent that process of renewal. And so that's happened a couple different times. And so I personally felt like that was an area we needed to clean up.
And that's where the extension to the 4 years came from, was that was the contract year for a new, so a new hire wouldn't have this option even. But that's why we made that.
But we also had Bridget and her team review some of this too, so we had a discussion about what this was.
I do have a question about, so this applies to everybody, but your staff isn't necessarily a continuing contract, so is staff still eligible for this after 4 years? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they are, yeah.
Yeah.
Should we take that in the policy?
That was just my question. I mean, I understand the basis for the 4 years of the initial community contract, that's where it's going to arise. So my question was, is the intent to extend it to all employees, and they all have to meet that 4 year threshold, even though the reason we said that was for the community contract?
But it says an employee, so I think it's granted to everyone. So I'm going to agree with Craig. We haven't used it much. I can remember Joey, maybe you can. 3-4 years ago, we had somebody that went overseas and taught or something or other. I remember we granted it at that time. It's not been abused.
No.
But I agree with you, somebody who just gets a job and then maybe has a baby and wants to take a full year off, you need to be here for a while before you can request a full year.
Is there anything you'd like to see changed by the committee? All right, then. All those in favor on the first reading of the motion as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Passed on first reading. Okay, to the Kinder Boost program. Mr. Evans isn't here, but he did a really nice job on his presentation at the work session. So, may I have a motion to approve Casey's Kinder Boost program beginning, and I guess we should put the year. I put this in myself, beginning the 23-24 school year.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Do we have any discussion? I thought we had a great discussion the other night. I thought that Mr. Evans did a really nice job of getting all the nuts and bolts, the handbook and everything going. Any other discussion?
That's cool.
I just saw Jody put on a sweater and everything.
So, Madam Chair, Jake has done a great job. I mean, the initial meeting when him and I met with the group of parents down there, he's communicated through this process. More importantly, he's really worked with the parents well. It's always exciting to watch Jake present because he. You can tell he's an FFA guy and how he presents his stuff. Well organized, and I think what he's done and put the time in, this will be successful, and we'll monitor it year to year.
Any other discussion? So, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We will have Kinder Boots program in case. The next one. May I have a motion to approve the metal siding repair project in KC?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. I think we had a discussion during the facilities report.
So, Jan, I just have to have a comment. John, for me, it is so hard to believe that this bid is $119,000 and only $15,000 is the materials and the rest is labor. So there must be a huge amount of labor, but I know you went through Bo C's or Bo T's, one or the other, to do it. So
there's a lot of high work.
A lot of
they have aerial lifts. They got to be on the roof. They got ladders. They got scaffolding.
So like $182 an hour, but it doesn't say how many employees that is. I hope that's not per man.
I'm waiting on that breakdown. I had a meeting with Tremco today, and a guy flew out here. It's the price of materials and manpower is up.
Yeah, it's not the material, it's the manpower. Yeah. Holy jamoly.
I mean, look at our air handler at Meadowlark, for instance. Look what it did. You know, it doubled. The price of materials are through.
No, labor. Just a comment. It's
yeah.
Gosh, that labor is so out of whack on this. But
some of these quotes I open up, and it's, I'm going to put a pool noodle on the edge of my desk so I don't break my teeth when I open it.
Well, anymore, just finding people willing to do the project is getting harder and harder. You know? I don't know where everybody went. Uh-huh. Any other discussion? So, if not, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We will have the Meta siding repair in Dunn MKC.
So, Jan, there was one last thing, and okay. I'm sorry I didn't ask.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so how come insurance doesn't pay for that?
It's not at a spot of damage at this point. It is a maintenance issue.
It's a maintenance and not. Yep. Yeah. But if you would have had something blow off and get tore up, then it would have been.
Yeah, and I don't think we
would. And you don't really want that.
We don't want to go down that road. Yeah. So, that and
even if they had that, they would only repair that little section.
Mm-hmm.
So, what we're talking about is that maintenance of the entire building. So, as we're looking at maintaining our buildings long term, these are some of the projects that, once we get our feet underneath us and developing long-term planning, this could be very similar with all that did one building. An entire, we'll go around the whole structure on the outside, which could be windows, it could be a lot of different things, like roofs. But anyway, there'll be some high-dollar projects. But right now, this is securing the whole exterior part of the building with addition with the HVAC and the boiler work that we're doing there. And so every time you do a major project down at school, and I'm just going to forewarn you, I don't want to make any more work for John, but once we dig into Meadowlark, there could be something that comes up there too. There's always those unknowns that we move through this. But I appreciate, John, your preventative piece with this. And, yeah, it is expensive. And yeah. The travel.
You know, and a big thing that we need to look at, and you need to hear from board, we have $10 million in roofs that all need attention. We have $10 million in HVAC that is sitting on the roofs that need attention within 5 years. There's some big ticket items. So these projects that you see siding and fasteners and it's costing this, when we go to do these projects, we could be talking $15 million. That's where the market's going right now. But as a board, there's some big ticket items out there that we have to address, and I am doing what I can with what I have at the time right now. So we're making great strides.
Yeah. And everybody from the State Facilities Commission has to sign off that they agree to support Johnson County over the next 5 years before they get off the bus.
Any other discussion? Good questions. Thank you. All those in favor of the motion as approved, excuse me, all those in favor of the motion as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We will have some. We already did that. I'm sorry. You brought up a question, so I thought then it was my fault. We will vote it again. For sure we're going to do this project. All right. Yes, and this is what I did my go with the Bell's Intercom Classroom System. I said, may I have a motion to approve the audio enhancement for Clear Creek Middle School? Is that a good enough motion, Mr. Austin?
Yes.
Okay.
So moved.
May I have a second, please?
I'll second it.
Okay, let's have a discussion on it.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Did I understand somebody said we're going to take this and ask for money from a grant in the future?
Yeah, the COPS grant that we're doing major maintenance right now on Clear Creek Middle School to get the ball rolling. Our bells and intercoms are at pretty much end of life, right, Christy? Buffalo High School, we started the year last year without bells and intercoms. Knowing with some rough numbers and budgets, when this COPS grant become available, we decided, why not do this? We get $500,000, we got a match, we can go up $675,000. We can do the large projects with the grant money. And we can do the smaller Clear Creek, and we're going to do a little work at Metalwork for this amount. When we start talking KC, Buffalo High School, Cloud Peak Elementary, all in next summer, we're going to be pushing that $667,000 in three schools. And when we expend this grant, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong here, but we expend it, we get reimbursed, we can apply again. Johns County is in there already, so the process will be quicker through the Department of Justice, and we can start popping off other big projects for security reasons, right? For security purposes.
Yes. But we have to spend it all first.
We're not going to have a problem.
And we, John's promised me we could spend it all in one shot, so it's all good.
Thank you.
But to do the underlying, we're all going to be on one platform. So John and Christy have been working really hard. We have different platforms. We're bringing everything up to one speed. And it's pretty much, it's a pretty neat system. If you haven't seen it, you have an opportunity, maybe go kind of see what Lori's school has, and it'll be upgraded, right? But it's part of the emergency thing. It's the speakers in the classroom, it's the speaker in the hallways. And we've also added a lot of speakers on the exteriors of the building with all of these projects. And so John and Christy have done a lot of great work with this, but it is going to be one platform, which is going to make their worlds a little bit easier to manage.
John, major maintenance sellers, right?
Yes, this one will be major maintenance sellers. I already have state approval.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because the state says, yeah, if you have the major maintenance, let's do these projects that you can get done right now. So they're all for it.
Yep.
Because it's our mass notification as well.
Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor of the motion as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We will have our audio enhancements. Where are we at? We're at
Reading Horizons.
Reading Horizons. We have a motion for the Reading Horizons added for the Reading Horizons. What is with me? Reading Horizons. Adoption. Excuse me. And this really only has water. So.
Yeah,
I've been
there.
No, it's only water.
So. I'll second it.
Thank you. Discussion.
Madam Chair, I did have some questions about this. I guess I'm a little bit confused as to why we're just now voting on the reading adoptions. I attended all the literacy meetings that we had in, I think it was March. I went to Metalark and I went to Cloud Peak with Bo. Just there were some questions there. And so I just went back into my, I'm part of the parent herd at Metalark. And so I just went back into my paperwork that was given out as to what we were using along all the support systems with the Fountas and Pinnell and the different things that we had. And so Reading Horizons Decodable is in there along with the Foundations, the Hagerty, the Read Naturally, Epic Online, Eastbrook Online, and the A to Z Reading. So were we already using it?
So it was
and we, I'm confused as why we're just now adopting it if we were already using it.
And that's a good question.
Yeah.
It was used as an intervention for Tier 2, Tier 3.
Oh, okay.
So were, and it was a pilot program.
Okay, so that so a pilot program is different than actually using it as like the actual part of the curriculum?
We were test driving.
Oh, okay. So that was like, that means...
Now we want to buy.
Okay. And the test drive, I mean,
well,
just
it's showing huge success.
Yeah, I well, and that's what I was going to say. You know, that's kind of what sparked my whole thought on, like, you know, what's going on with literacy, especially at that K-2 level. You know, I was just seeing just with my own kid, and so I thought you guys did a really well. Both I had great presentation at Metalark and great presentation at Cloud Peak, and so that makes better sense to me that now we'll go ahead and use it. And one thing that I just want to bring up too, throughout that whole literacy thing that I did not understand this, and I did not realize this. The letters training that Jan just talked about tonight, that is not a requirement.
No.
That is something that these teachers sign up on their own, and take their own time and do all their, that's on them. That's nothing that's required within the curriculum. And I can't remember, Craig, I think you gave the data on that of the number of teachers that you had at your school. And I mean, it was...
all but one certified teacher.
Yeah. I mean, the data was phenomenal. And just that night at that literacy meeting, I mean, the unfortunate part was there was only about five parents, but we had about, I don't know, 18 to 25 teachers show up. And so it was amazing. And so, okay, thanks for that great explanation on that Reading Horizons. I'm glad to know that we'll be able to, we'll hopefully be able to use
it. And we're not throwing the funds, LLI and guided reading out at all.
No.
This will become a tier one for all.
And this Reading Horizons adoption, that'll be catered by, right? Is that right? Okay.
What have we been using?
We've been using the level literacy intervention, the LLI. And what we're finding is that there's a percentage of kids who don't respond to it, which is what prompted us to go to the Reading Horizons as a pilot for that tier two, tier three. But what we're seeing is the combination between that and the letters training that our staff has. It's just making a huge difference. It's filling in those phonemic and phonics gaps that are there. So we feel like this would be better tier one, and then the kids who can get, I guess you could say, graduate out of it quicker, then we'll move to a more intensive LLI guided read that will have filled in those holes, if you will. So I think it's great. I mean, we're learning all the time, and the letters training has really brought a lot to our attention as professionals.
Well, what I thought was so interesting about the whole literacy thing, you know, just to kind of put it on our level, because we're not teachers. And the thought that was so interesting to me was that these teachers, I mean, Metal Arc, I mean, there's 15 to 22 students in every classroom, right? And the time that they're taking out with each of these kids to recognize, oh, hey, this little guy, he's having issues with this, and this little gal, she's this. And so all these supports that they have, that they were using, those teachers are able to go in and dig into a support and see, okay, what if we tried this with them? And so, like, with Libby, I mean, I thought, wait a minute. She's not reading, she's not sounding out letters, and I mean, she learned all of that, and then all of a sudden, it had to have been with the letters and the Reading Horizon. I mean, Dave, I'll tell you what, it was like overnight, we were like, whoa, Libby was putting those words together, it was making sense to her, it was no longer, I mean, just the support, it's crazy, and so,
Where's the program based out of that? So when you get these people that come in and coach, where do they come from?
From Reading Horizons.
So where's it based out of? Because they talk about the coaching, $3,500 a person a day. So are they, for that kind of cost,
so we'll
are they...
bring them in live versus... But what Craig and I both attended June last year, and it was a virtual training. And they're good to a point. And then we brought some virtual training in this fall, some PD for staff. It's not the same, especially when you have that big of a group of people without not having a live presenter to actually get in and work with teachers. And that's what they're offering on this round.
So in the bid, it has a site license. What does that mean?
So there's an online component with it.
And so each school has to have their own, they're calling it a license.
Yeah. It's a software package that goes with it. So that's just a component of it.
Right.
There's software that goes with that whole piece.
Okay. So just trying to understand.
Yeah.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is going to be 100% if approved by the board and funded by the Y Build brand. So that's another program by the state, so they're fully aware of our intentions pending tonight.
Any other discussion? Good discussion.
So I want to add to the discussion about letters training and what we're doing here through the White Bill, but you're absolutely right. It's the state did not mandate it when this started, but it was highly recommended. And now part of the new literacy law, states trainings need to take place, which the Attorney General is trying to interpret what that means. If they're going to count all the training that we've done up to this point. But our teachers, I guess to summarize that, really appreciative. I know we're trying to, it's a very minimal thing. I know we had a discussion about what we're going to try to do, but 90 hours in addition to their jobs and what they're doing. But it wasn't required, but realistically it was. And our teacher stepped up to the plate. So,
just something to add to that. We have, I want to say in my building, 3 or 4 paraprofessionals have stepped up and are doing it. Because we have them doing some working with some of our really at-risk kiddos. And so they're growing themselves. Again, the district's offering a stipend as an incentive, but there's a whole lot of time that goes into that, all that work before they would even sniff that. So,
yeah. I went to that literacy meeting that Mr. Anderson had in his school. I've never seen a group of people so excited. I mean, they want to teach reading. I mean, they know the importance of it, and the same thing when we went to the herd. I mean, these professionals want our kids to be the best readers that they can possibly be.
Well, Madam Chair, Lori set up a little live demo for me because I was having trouble following the discussion as usual. She set it up and took me through it. They're custom building a reading program for every student in the building. Every student has their own individual tailored program to get them reading. It's phenomenal to see them in action. They can't do any better. This is amazing stuff we're working on.
I think I said in December when we presented our benchmark data, I think it'd be easy, if you will, for staff to hang their hat on the growth from fall to December, because you're going from 6-7% in the fall to 86%, say, by December, and they didn't even look at that. Like, they wanted to worry about not just the kids that weren't making it, but what were they missing with that 86%. And that to me speaks volumes. And I know Craig Wilson feels the same way. Because we felt like we were sending great readers on, but there was something missing. And so I think that's where we're at now.
Any other discussion? Good discussion. Appreciate it. All right. All those in favor of the motion as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All the same sign. Motion has been approved. Okay, our last one, well, we probably will have some discussion on that. I have a motion to approve the preliminary budget as presented.
So moved.
You have a second?
Second.
Discussion. Ms. Connie, you are on.
Okay. I just want to kind of go over a couple of changes that I made since we talked. See if I can make this work. So the first piece on the budget highlights, I just kind of added a little bit to the external cost adjustment. I think I had ECA only on there. So I added the external cost adjustment, was added to the model. So I did change that piece right there on that slide. The next slide that I added just a summary with all of the different budgets on the same page, so you can kind of just see that at a better glance.
Can you slow down just a little bit?
Okay. It's going to be page... Oh, thank you, Christy.
That's not in our package. That's an additional one.
That was on the your web page.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Then if we can go to page... Go to page 13. So let me see if I can get there. Can you move that down a little bit, Steve? No, the one above that. Right. If you look down at the second part of the sections, we had 10% cut to operations, and we were playing with that during when we were putting the presentation together. But we came up with the fact that we thought we'd leave about $400,000 in the budget without spending it, and so we're trying to get as close to $400,000 there. So it really is just cuts to operations there. And then the same change was made. Oh, no. Let's see if I do it here. Another change I made was I just took the legend off this special revenue sections, and I just added the names to the actual pieces of the pie, so you can kind of have a little bit bigger piece there. Change the colors so it'd be a little bit easier to designate which is which. And then I added the definitions. If you can bring that down a little bit, Steve. You ask for instructing what the thousands and 2,000s and 3,000s were. So I added that, and then I just gave you the generic definitions that is in my packet each, in my report each month.
That helps. Yeah. But that doesn't mean I still won't ask you what
So right here, again, I changed this. We added it to the whole list there, instruction 1,000, salaries and benefits. Someone asked me what S&B was, and so it's salaries and benefits and operations. We changed those so you can add that in there. And then the cut to operations, that second column, we said 10%. It really is just that cut to operations. We're trying to meet that $400,000. So those are the changes that I made, and those are in your board docs. But I wanted you to see those. But those are the questions. On my board report, I did give you a little link here to the meeting that you can watch that the committee, it's called the School Foundation Data Advisory Committee. They discussed this. They discussed what it would look like, what it would happen to everything, what would the procedure be, and that link is there. And then I added just the minutes that you can look at what they talked about. And they talked about other things that are pretty interesting, but you can definitely go in there and look at that. That was really pretty nice. So if there's any questions, again, this is very, very preliminary. We'll be doing some changes. We're still meeting with the principals and the supervisors to go over. We've asked them to cut 10%, so we'll come back to that and see where that lands us and see how close we are to this. We're still going to be looking at, I've got a WASBO meeting in Casper the last day of May and the next couple of days in June. We'll go in and we'll talk as a group as to what is this going to look like. So, you know, in my board report, I kind of showed you one way we could look at it because I pulled it out. So I did the budget without SPED and then a SPED budget, so we can look at that and see if that might work. But we'll see what other business managers are doing. Well, the state will be there. We kind of talk that out and see what that looks like, because this is a huge change on how we look at things and how that, I mean, it lowers our 30% threshold because they're lowering our foundation guarantee, what that all looks like. We spoke with Trent Carroll, who's the finance guy at WDE, and he's definitely going to work with us. We'll meet with him at WASBO and Casper. Hopefully, once we know what we're getting in June for that May payment, we'll see what we can do and see how the state can work with us so that we can maybe pay a partial payment in June and not have to pay the full thing in June and then pay the rest maybe in October.
So, Connie, you went over the ECA, external cost adjustment, mm-hmm. and from what I understand, that's basically an inflationary deal for when mm-hmm. things have gone up. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm, you know, you're wanting to add to the base and stuff, and so I would say it's a one-time payment, and so I would be in favor of, I don't care if you call it a bonus or a stipend, to pay that money out to all the individuals equally that work for the district, because that's what it's for. It's inflation.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when instead you of adding it to the base? Because we're adding it to the base.
I understand that, but that's not sustainable, because you don't know that you'll get this next year or the following year. So
correct.
For me, because we already, in my opinion, need to try to cut. You said mm-hmm. that because mm-hmm. we're about $2 million right. over where we were right. last year.
Right.
So like I say, if we're not sustainable, I'd love to see you look at a bonus for all employees, call it a bonus stipend, whatever you want. But that would be...
That is definitely, because that's a little bit of what we talked about. We said, you know, here's what we're planning, but it's really up to you guys as to what we do. He has a point about it could possibly not be sustainable, but it's also... The districts around us are all going up in their bases or have gone up in their bases. And so we don't do anything to the base where that we're one step behind again trying to get the best teachers. So it's...
When was the last time we put in money on the base?
That I can't tell you.
I would say... 2 years
ago, wasn't it?
I would say more like... I'm not sure. I don't
know. So classified, we did a classified salary schedule study, and we changed the salary schedule from classified, and we did raise the classified base up to 14. So classified only.
Okay.
And we gave steps and lanes for certified, but that was trying to bring them up to, I think the original goal was $15 an hour. We landed on 14. Our recommendation is to take this to $14.50 with the base, with the step for classified, and increase our certified base to $46,000.
Yeah.
And I get what you're saying, that ECA, but I think it's going to be, because the lawsuit right now, in the current constitution, we're guaranteed this every year. They just haven't given it to us. There's a financial piece, but we have to start moving forward with our base if we want to retain people. And that's a piece that we have to look at. I agree. Dave, you know, I promised you a balanced budget by 2025, and there has to be some cuts. And we're trying to find those efficiencies with this new software. And I think we're going to find some of them as we move forward. But in the meantime, if we hold off from doing something with our base, I just think culture-wise and politically-wise, it's not going to be a good move. Okay, would I like to be at $50,000 or $53,000 like some of the other districts? I got to be honest with you. I have no idea how they're going to sustain that. I have none. I don't know how they're going to do it unless they're increasing their class sizes tremendously. But the same pot of money that we get. So they are cutting something, whether it's benefits or number of kids per classroom or number of paras, or all the great things that we talk about that we provide our kids, they're not providing something. They don't have an extra pot of money that we don't. It's all the same within the same resources. But we've got to demonstrate to our people that we respect them. I would love to be at $50,000. However, when I'm presenting to you a $1.2 million budget over fee, and we're using that on carryover and ESSER funds, I've still got to be able to move something forward. That's just where we're at. Cutting activities is one thing, but we're asking everybody to pitch in. It can be a directive from me down and just say, okay, you're all cutting 15% out of your budget, whether that's personnel or staff, and we're not doing that. We want to try to find our efficiencies first, and then we really see where we're overloaded. And ESSER funds, like I stated before, are going to be one of the supporting factors for us next year for two reasons. Because we have to have it spent by next year legally. We have to have it spent legally by this amount of time. And we really want to max out our carryover because that will carry us into 2025. So our target goal is to use ESSER funds to leverage that with staffing, to maintain our current staffing, and to leverage that in such a way that we land at 29.5% carryover, so that then that next year that can help us into that second year of a balanced budget by 2025. How we get there is a whole new strategy now with the new rules that we found out last week. But it's going to take some time. But I really believe we can do it. But we do have to add some to the base. And I can tell you something right now. Politically, when legislators made this comment, the ECA goes to staff members, not to administration. They're going to want to track. You know, it didn't go to an increase in a superintendent's salary, or it didn't go to the construction of a new swimming pool. We can demonstrate that this salary went to benefits, or this ECA went to benefits, steps, and lanes, and an increase in the base. And that really is what legislators are going to ask. Where did you put that ECA? And I feel with the plan we have in place, we can say that ECA that you gave us went to our employees.
But again, it is a risk. So we just have to really contemplate it, and I will hopefully come back with some numbers. We can meet again before the July meeting, but we can really kind of look at some numbers. But I just have to get more and more to the end of the year to see where we're sitting.
So as you guys have talked to staff, what helps them the most? Because it is inflation. That's what it is. What helps them the most? Does a 50-cent raise or whatever, does that help them more than getting a bonus to help pay for the high costs of this winter and things like that? And I think that's maybe one of the questions you have to ask your employees.
Well, and I'll answer that question. If we give them a one-time bonus, they spend it in the first 30 days. It's a sustainable piece. You know, some people have that financial ability to say, hey, I'm going to take $50 a month, and I'm going to apply it to it, or you're going to take that bonus and you're going to spend it on something. But that piece of monthly giving them some type of raise, yeah. Either way you look at it, but we're sustaining it over 12 months and not just a one-time sum. But again, it's coming back to adding to that base, which is what people have asked. When we ask them, I just had the conversation today, are we getting a raise and are we getting steps? That was the one of the conversations we had with classified department today. Are we getting a raise and are we getting steps? And the answer to that question was, we are moving in that direction. That's a recommendation to the board. So
don't think I'm opposed to that.
No.
But I think it's valid.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
But I think it's valid. All of us have to look at that, and I can give you the best numbers that I can, and then we're going to have, as a group, going to have to say, okay, where do we want to do? Do we want to take the risk? What do we want? So
I'm glad to hear that you're going to talk to the guy from the WDE to help you with the budget.
After that change?
No.
We talked to Trent.
Yeah.
So I called Trent. Trent called me back. I walked into Connie's room, set it down, put him on the microphone, on the phone, and we had this conversation. Trent is the boss.
The
one that's going to negotiate with us.
Yeah.
What that looks like.
But the payment that
the
we
payment. So
do.
All, this is about the amount of money. This
okay, I thought
where we are headed is with a cash flow issue.
Gotcha.
Okay, that number that you see right up there, we're not. Charles does not have the power to grant more money. We're not going to, Trent's not going to give us more money. Trent, well, our concern is with having the cash flow to make payroll, to make monthly things. He is going to work with us to make sure that we don't. That we make payroll, that we understand where our revenues are, and so that we can get through at least August is what we requested. He's going to walk both of us through, like with the other 13 districts in the state that are new to recapture, apply for what that. I had a short conversation with Alex Ayers, who they've always been a recapture except for a couple years, what that looks like prior to the vote chiefs meeting. And we have some things we need to learn through that process. However, this is a zero interest loan, so there's just some things. But right now, it's the transition between July and, because we don't get the loan until what, September?
September, yeah.
So you don't get it till September. So we still got a couple months there that we have to make sure our local taxes gets us through to the time we can apply for a loan.
And then what we were talking about is how our district's going to separate that SPED piece from the budget. Yeah, you know, put it in another fund, and then we just keep it self-contained in another fund, and that's kind of how you want to look at it. or if we want to intermingle it with the budget. So those are the kinds of things that we're going to talk about at WASP, but not really about help with the budget per se, but what does it look like? Because it's different. Because when we talk about foundation guarantee now, it's not going to include SPED.
And just so you know, we're still waiting for the final number of what we have to pay in June. So they come up with a preliminary, then they send it to our friend Ike Sinan, who are going to confirm the data is correct. Then they're going to come back to the state, and then we're going to get an official letter on what we pay in June. And then at that point, along with our local revenues, we'll culture it back and we'll go from there. He did not agree to writing a check and not cashing it until December. I asked him if we could do that, and he said no. But anyway, he will work with us, okay?
Yeah, but we're not going to cut that check until June 30th.
Anyway, so. We have a plan, and the state's going to support us. Trent did make it very clear. The state will
they won't not let us get in trouble.
They're not going to let us get in trouble. However, he did reiterate, they are under, they got in trouble with the feds, and so they have federal laws they have to follow, and so that's why things have changed. Which is nice to hear somebody else say.
I really understand what you're saying about bonus. But having received bonus at one time and money on the base, I'll go for money on the base every time.
Sometimes people get, you know, Charles' point, sometimes people get behind on their bills.
Right.
And it's hard to catch up, but you get that bonus money and you're behind on your heating, electric field. Yeah, you spend it a month.
Doesn't taxes take a big whack down that, too?
It's ordinary income, so whatever tax bracket you're in, whether you're at a 10.6 or a 20% or whatever, that's what it's going to take. But they're going to take the same amount out of what you're going to get as your salary.
So another thing that Charles just brought up is that when we pay a bonuses, we don't pay anything into retirement. So it is a cost savings to the district, but that you don't get any retirement credit for it.
Yeah. So. Okay. And so it used to be so much was tied to the base. Coaching salaries used to be tied to the base. A lot of things were tied
to the base. Well, they still are tied to the base, but you froze that salary schedule several years ago and have never unfroze it. Whew, that was hard. Yeah.
So you're coaching, Jen, coaching stipends, if I'm correct, you do pay money to the state on the coaching stipends because it's part of your salary.
Correct, but she was saying that our, a lot of things are tied to the base. So let's say a basketball kid gets 9% of the base. That's how you determine his salary.
So if you get 1,000 on base, you know you're going to get a little bit more on coaching.
But not yet, unless you unfreeze that.
Right, unless we unfreeze
that. That's how we're supposed to. So, Randy, I know you missed some of this, and if you want to call and talk or sit down with me about what we went over on this and the crazy change that we had, we are now officially a recapture district as of FY23, and that was not going to be the case. And then we found that out a week ago. So it's a lot of things changed between.
So the only question I have is, maybe a completely different conversation, or it may not be the right time, based on changing the event, but where are we in SROs going into schools? Is that still an option?
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
SRO.
And that was in the ESSER 2 funding. So it's in the ESSER 3 funding, and there's a hybrid piece of it. But as of last week, we're going to have to revisit that. So our safety committee, there's absolutely no way we can sustain an SRO in buildings locally or as a district long term. So however, we had a meeting. I mean, with the day, John, it was Friday.
That's Friday.
So we had a meeting with using, Bridget was there, of getting law enforcement access to our video cameras to help with that piece and the surveillance of it. But I have to be honest, I don't know where we can support a full-time SRO in the district, and the county doesn't feel they can support it long-term of doing that. We've had that question in our community safety partnership meetings of where we head with that. So we've talked about a hybrid system.
which maybe we can pay for lunches or we can have them come into the schools and incorporate that. But after last week's meeting, I will be coming back to the ESSER 3 committee, and we really need to dedicate our funds to salaries and benefits to get our budget and to really meet our goal of getting our depreciation reserve and getting our budget stabilized by 2025. So, and I know, Jody, you've been a part of that conversation. Did I miss anything?
You know, it's like I was thinking the other day, these people live this 24/7. So if you have a question, I mean, we get an hour here, an hour there, a couple hours there, and I could hear her presentation four or five times and still go, oh, okay. So don't be, you know, don't think, oh, I can't ask that question. Yes, you can. Please do. Or call Connie. Or go back. I've gone back and listened, even gone back and listened to the video. Or watch the video. So.
But, Randy, I think that's a great question. And, you know, let's not plan on an hour. Let's plan on a couple hours and see if there's some time you can come in and we can go over that with any of you.
Kind
of.
Well, open. I mean, it's either doable or it's not. And if it's not doable, then that's fine. But I want the general public to understand that we're not going to be able to cut an officer in school. Intercoms and speaker systems are not going to keep our kids in. They're not going to interrupt violence in households at home. And they're not going to interrupt, you know, kids that are at risk or something. And SRO will. And SRO will help stop a lot of other things, too. So, you know, that's something that I, you know, had very high on my list of what I wanted to get back in schools whenever I first came here. And if it's not doable, it's just not. You know, I work for the county, and before that for the city. I understand the concept that we don't have the money. And so, you know, I get it if it's just not there, and that was kind of my question.
Yeah, but I also want to make a public comment and say, you as a board of trustees we have our parent liaison that's working with those at-risk families earlier so we can identify and get their resources and work with those kids. We're dealing with the social, emotional, especially through special ed and those high needs kids there. So we're finding some of those resources. We've done the TAC 1 training, which we had Craig and I had a great conversation with some parents. I think it was a great conversation the other day on some of the trainings that we're doing, what we're doing to lock down our schools, the video, all the work that John is doing with our securities and Christy with our cameras. I mean, it's not just an individual. We are trying to take a look at the whole picture of what we can do to make our buildings safer and train our staff. I do want the community, and I do appreciate you as a board, but we have incorporated a lot of things to kind of try to improve our safety. I think the committee that we're on, we've kind of, just like everything else, it's time to get everybody organized and find that one date that we can all come to lunch and have a conversation. But the number one thing that came out of the last thing was communication. There's a lot of resources between the different entities that I think we can clean up, which we all agree to. And I know it was spring break, but I can tell you, the training that we've done with our law enforcement and how they reacted to Buffalo High School with that call, there was a lot of things we learned from that, which I can say we're a better as a district. John was involved in that, some of the communication pieces, some of the things we learned. So their response time to the building, and you have access to that, but it was pretty phenomenal on how quick they responded to that.
And I don't have any doubt that there's a safety risk for that specific reason. You know, as a former DARE officer, you know, that's a relationship that we haven't had in the school since, well, really since pre-COVID and since I went to this department. But it's having an officer in the school. We like to compare ourselves with all these other school districts around for everything else, but as far as I know, we're the only ones within the immediate region that don't have SROs in school.
You know, I'll get those actual figures, but we're not. There are several districts that don't have official.
Well, I know there's going to be several districts that are, but I know that we're the only ones in the area that I think that that's something that, again, if we can't do it, we can't do it. But it's, that to me is a much higher priority than just about anything else. And it's not because I wear a uniform. It I think that should be in today's time, not just the school violence, but with the drug problems that we're seeing in the area. I think it's something that we really need to focus on. In the forefront, if we at all make that.
Madam Chair, Trustee Brown, one of the things that would kind of putting together this COPS grant that we kind of got in touch with a pretty savvy grant writer that this is what she does for a living, and so there may be some grants out there that we might be able to really kind of dig into. So I would not be opposed at all to talking to her about something like that, but there are, maybe there's other avenues that we can do instead of just going through the budget. So
you know, I'm surprised the government hasn't stepped in like they did when we had the other problems with Columbine stepping and started giving us the money for the SROs. I'm surprised they haven't gone back to that, considering there was, what I heard yesterday, 199 mass shootings since the beginning of the year.
They count just having a gun in the school and mass shooting. So,
but I guess she. What schools have done, those masks are now going into the public. So it's your shop codes, it's your theaters.
I agree with that. I'm just saying I'm surprised the government hasn't said, we want to go back to this.
Or the state, even. Like that $1.3 billion of mass savings.
Any other discussion? So, again, this is just a preliminary budget. So, all those in favor of approving the preliminary budget as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion has passed, and we will see the budget. Give me a date again. We're going to have other meetings through June, correct?
Correct. Hopefully we'll have something at the next board meeting, but we can have, you have some
ideas. June, we've already scheduled. June will be a work session. We'll go over the budget again and then do my evaluation into that. So right afterwards, that executive session will be my evaluation, but the work session will be the budget again to kind of bring you up to speed. And if we have to have another one in June prior to July or the first part of July, we'll bring all that to the table.
We'll also try to get some information about the rec board thing too as well. The Miller.
Okay.
We kind of already touched on, from the board. Okay, I'd like to just, so we've got it, so we know what we're doing. When we go to KC's graduation, do you know who's going to be up on the handing out diplomas, correct? That was in the map. We have that. Are there names on here?
Yep.
It's on there.
We're going to print everything.
Okay, I'm going to get down. Okay. For Casey, it will be myself and Mrs. Ledoux, Mr. Oski. That will be for Casey. Okay, for Buffalo High School, EHS. Who is going up on stage?
I would like to, because I guess myself, Jody, Randy, we all have kids.
Okay.
So does.
Did you take them? I want them for me, though, just to be honest with you. Okay, and then.
Bring all your clean.
Now, New West has decided.
We want you just to enjoy the show.
Okay.
Just relax.
All right.
Do we get front row seats, though? You can sit wherever you want.
No, we want to
be able
to see right
there. Done deal.
Okay. I just did that for my own. I'm one of these.
If I'm going to that, do I just
for which one?
The Buffalo.
Buffalo will be usually
so we'll sit as a group.
Okay.
Down from the floor.
Okay. So just, but I will be at them.
Okay. All right. That was for my own. Okay. Superintendent evaluation timeline.
So, Jan, just as a reminder, though, there's no bus going to KC.
Right.
And you travel on your own and get to our places, right?
Exactly.
You can carpool on your own, but then Heidi will not be organizing transportation.
Okay, superintendent evaluation timeline. We kind of touched on that in June. You want to go through it for us, please?
So, yeah, I mean, what we're going to talk about tonight, and I think the committee can... if I misspeak, but I shared that document with you. We'll reshare that, but the idea that the first reading for that would be in June for approval. With my evaluation being in June, I'm going to take some of that template and work with Heidi to get that out to you for the practice run of this first round with the intention that the final approval will be in July. We'll take it through two readings, but... that document, I will make sure I reshare that with all of you tomorrow, unless the committee has anything else to say about the document.
How many pages did we reduce?
25.
We went from 70 to 50.
Yeah, so we got rid of 20 more to hem this thing in enough to be big bite, but still bite-sized.
We went from 100 to 70 to 50.
So. We whittled a little bit.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's graphs. So.
A lot of it's just supporting evidence, so as new board members, you know what terminology you're talking about, and it just kind of simplifies some things. Mitch Kraft is still responsible for working, and it's not gonna take away from the document, but really aligning your leadership governance to the actual standards. So I mean, even when we approve it, we're still going to be making sure that our leadership governance aligns to the different standards. But what you're definitely approving is the processes.
Anything else the committee would like to say? All right.
I thought it was a good discussion, so I appreciate the people that were there.
June work session will be the 7th, correct?
Correct.
And the board meeting, that will also be included, I know that all of them are special, but a special session for executive for the superintendent's evaluation. And then the June 12th will be the regular meeting.
So, Madam Chair, the chairman of the State Facilities Commission, Mr. Charter, has said the meeting will not go long on that work session day. But should we bump our work session to 5:30 in case goes longer?
I would say go 5:30.
Is it okay if we bump this one to 5:30 just to give time for to clean out the room? There's some pretty high-powered presentations that day from districts around the state, so it could get a little heated. So with that being said, I would feel a little more comfortable bumping it to 5:30.
Thank you. Is that all right with everybody?
The work session at 5:30?
Yes, and I will text you guys today so I can really continue with 4:30. Yes.
May I go back to from board from the process?
You betcha.
Okay. So I'm trying to get my thoughts together and refine my list. But I wanted to say really quick thank you to Mr. Ostenauer. He shared a big chunk of this day one day. But there are so many things going on at BHS besides the daily things. And so amongst everything that's been going on, I just want to say thank you for being so organized and getting everybody together. And I don't know if you guys all checked out the list that he put in his board report, but there's also some really cool things other than all the festivals, the ACTs, and the placement exams, and the senior skip day and prom, and all the things. But there's a really cool spring showcase going on. That if you have an opportunity to go up there, it's super awesome because they will have all the things that the kids are producing at the high school available for us to see and purchase. And they're serving dinner if you don't want to cook, and it's $5. So I just wanted to remind everyone of that.
Thank you.
So.
Because it really is a nice thing.
It's really fun.
Is there, because I have some of this, usually our information to your daughter. is there an event after graduation?
The next day.
So the TA Ranch does.
Can you talk about how, what that is?
Yeah, so that's actually going to be next Tuesday. So seniors' last day is Monday. But they come back Tuesday to do a tour in their cap and gown of the elementary school. And then they go to lunch at the TA Ranch. So that's what happens next Tuesday. Then on graduation day, we have the baccalaureate before and then the graduation ceremony that day. We don't do a post-graduation Buffalo High School. Okay.
But Kim, isn't there a graduation party the
22nd? So the parents of all, there should be emails coming out, but there's going to be a barbecue. So Monday or Tuesday?
I think it's
Tuesday after. Monday after graduation.
I think it's Monday.
But
yeah.
Well,
it's the fairgrounds, correct?
Yeah. But it's not the fairgrounds, but it's not.
Yeah. I just never mind.
You'll get it. I promise. You'll get it.
Good plan.
Is there anything else to do as a class?
Microphone holder on the podium that order so the crowd can hear all the talk.
Yep.
At the podium.
So, just on a side note, Mr. Zink has been doing a lot of work along with Christy, and another thing I've asked them to do is we need to up our audio system for graduation at Buffalo High School, so we're looking at that. So we have wireless mics up there. So we're not plugging in while one speaker's going across to change that. We're also looking to get a quote to upgrade this room for sound quality, presentations, do a video wall. So we have a lot of things in motion. And so I do appreciate the extra work with that, but that's one of the things that we are looking at. We're still in the works with trying to make sure that our schools get upgraded. Part of this audio enhancement thing that we talked through is our presentations in our cafeterias, having speakers and mics there so we can plug into audio. Actually, over the next year or two, really providing an opportunity for our schools to use the middle school for concerts, to use Craig's building for everything else, and then high school is trying to improve our facilities so that we can have more of our, especially Christmas events, spread out through the district so that we don't have to rely on just the auditorium and take a little pressure off the VHS. So that is in the works too, but again, all this stuff takes time. But in the meantime, trying to get our audio system for VHS and to get this for a presentation set up, or some of the other things that are kind of in the works. So, I think it is. Spencer's still coming back, right?
Haven't heard from him in a few days.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else? I would love to saw your hand.
No.
Okay. I would like to say when we come out of executive session, we will not be having, we will just be adjourned. So at this time, I have a motion to enter into executive session as per Wyoming Statute 16-4-405 for personnel and legal matters.
So moved. Jen, do you want to take a restroom break?
Yes.
Yeah.
With this policy, I'll second.
Second. Okay. When we come back, we will be in executive session. Thank you all.